From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Each message is devoted to an entire book and will provide you with a summary of the purpose, the doctrines, and the applications of the book to the Christian life. With this program, he brings the final portion of an overview of Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Although the church at Thessalonica had much to commend it, there were a number of issues which Paul sought to correct. He was especially desirous to establish the Thessalonian believers in holiness, and he wanted to ensure that the church was well-ordered and well-disciplined. The truth of Christ's return should define the character and the conduct of every believer's life. Furthermore, he emphasized that this truth brings great comfort to the children of God, especially as they face the last enemy, death. The Christian life is complete because it gives believers a proper view of the profound issues of life, death, and judgment. Finally, Paul declares that the crown of the Christian life consists of the souls believers lead to Christ, for these are the only things that Christians can take with them to heaven. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly to conclude this message entitled Living in the Light of Christ's Return. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled God's Promise Keeps. The text is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. We must not expect to see an immediate reward for all the good we do, nor must we always confine our efforts to places and persons which seem likely to yield us a recompense for our labors. The Egyptian casts his seed upon the waters of the Nile, where it might seem a sheer waste of corn. But in due time the flood subsides, the rice or other grain sinks into the fertile soil, and rapidly a harvest is produced. Let us today do good to the unthankful and the evil. Let us teach the careless and the obstinate. Unlikely waters may cover hopeful soil. Nowhere shall our labor be in vain in the Lord. It is ours to cast our bread upon the waters. It remains with God to fulfill the promise, Thou shalt find it. He will not let his promise fail. His good word which we have spoken shall live, shall be found by us. Perhaps not just yet, but some day we shall reap what we have sown. We must exercise our patience, for perhaps the Lord may exercise it. After many days, says the Scripture, and in many instances those days run into months and years, and yet the word stands true. God's promise will keep. Let us mind that we keep the precept, and keep it this day.
The day is set, the time has come, the witness has arrived. The course is marked, the men prepared, all ways are set aside. Positions are assumed and taken, energies now reawaken, empty thoughts are all forsaken, I must win the prize. I'll run this race with patience, I'll run this race with joy. My eyes. me by his matchless grace. My course is set, my God designed it all for his great cause. I will not live for selfish gain or die for man's applause. My Savior, love, my passion, King is every blessed word I'll cling. To him is every wish I'll bring till Jesus calls me home.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today.
No man without Christ can look forward to the judgment. What an awful word for the sinner. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. What an awful word. But you see, for a believer, it's altogether different. When you think of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as it's described here in 1 Thessalonians, you'll find it relates to His life, as I've indicated. It relates to His death, as I've also shown from chapter 4. And it relates to His judgment. You see, a Christian has this great assurance. Chapter 5, verse 9. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. God has not appointed us to wrath. We're not given to the wrath of God. We're not given to hell. We're not given to that awful sentence, depart from me. God has appointed us to eternal salvation, the completeness of the Christian's life. You see, the Christian lives his life in the foreglow of Christ's coming. The Christian dies his death in the sure hope of the resurrection. And the Christian faces judgment with the certainty that he'll never be in hell. The completeness of the Christian life, our life, our death, our judgment, all in the light of the coming of Christ, we view them with joy, with anticipation, because completely, they say, we're saved, we're sealed, we're secure, and that for all eternity. And then the final thing that's defined in terms of Christ's return is the crown of the Christian life. You see, in chapter 2, verse 19, Paul says, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Let's stop there for a minute. That's a very good question. Let me ask you, what is your hope? What is your joy? What is the crown in which you rejoice? What's the crowning achievement of life as far as you're concerned? It's a very good question. Now, Paul gives the answer. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Here's the true crown of achievement in this life. The true crown of rejoicing is the souls we bring to heaven. Stop and think of this for a minute. What else from earth is of any value and glory? What can you bring from earth to heaven? The ancient Egyptian kings, when they were buried, used to have a lot of their treasure buried alongside of them to pay their way to the next world. But when millennia had gone by and they opened up their grave sites, they found the treasures there. You can't take the treasures of earth to the world that is to come. There's nothing that you can do on earth. There is no great achievement. There is no job. There is no worldly position. There is none of the world's acclaim that will ever be transferred beyond the Jordan of death. You leave it all behind. Yet there are so many even professing Christians, and they're living as if the only achievement that was worthwhile is the achievement that is defined in terms of the world. the kind of job they have, the kind of money they make, the kind of house they have, the kind of riches, the kind of position, the kind of things that the world looks at. Now again, I'm not preaching monasticism. I am simply saying that these are not the great achievements of earth. The great achievement of this life is to take these things, the job, the money, the house, the health, the strength, the talent, the ability, the everything that we have, and use it to bring the lost to heaven, to the glory of Jesus Christ. And that's the only achievement. The only one. When you see sinners saved and built up in Christ, when your work under God produces an everlasting result in sinners converted to Christ, and as saints blessed and built up in Him so that they also may glorify Christ, when your work is so blessed, then you can say with Paul, "Here is my crown of rejoicing. As I go out to meet God, I'm not rejoicing in my education," says Paul. Philippians 3 makes this very clear. "I'm not rejoicing in my religion. I'm not rejoicing in any of the things that I have done that the world thought were great things. I'm rejoicing in this, that God has used me in some way to snatch souls from the jaws of death and hell, present them in the name of Jesus Christ and through the merits of His blood at the throne of glory. That is my crown of rejoicing. That is my supreme achievement." How often we have thought of the words of the old hymn, "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." But do we really believe it? Do we honestly, really believe it? If we believe that, why are so many Christians living the way they live? If we really believe that, why do parents give more attention to the physical health and the earthly education and the worldly advancement of their children than they give to the salvation of their souls? If we really believe it, how is it that as a church, and I'm not now just speaking of the local church, but I'm speaking of God's people in church, how is it that we are doing less than ever for the evangelization of the lost? If we really believe that this is the only crown, why is it that it's easier to get Christians to come to see a film show, to participate in a seminar, to argue about prophecy, to do any one of a number of things to show their fine theological ability? You could get people to discuss their Calvinism and the election and predestination and the sovereignty of God, but you couldn't get them to take a step to go out and reach a soul for Christ. If we really believe that the one achievement that stands above every other is this crown of rejoicing, souls to praise Christ for all eternity, then why do we live the way we do? Remember what Paul said to the Corinthians. "Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown." You think of what an athlete puts himself through to gain a corruptible crown, or an Olympic medal, or a championship ring. You think of what he puts himself through. Many an athlete has deliberately adopted a course that would lead to an early death because he wanted that corruptible crown. But Paul says, we do it to obtain an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beats the air. But I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway, fit for nothing in the service of God. If an athlete can go to such extremes for a corruptible crown, Paul is saying, there is nothing too much to expect from us who are saved to gain the incorruptible crown. Let us therefore get our eyes on the crowning day, that day of glory. And as we finish this meeting this morning, I want you to take this question much to your heart. If the Lord Jesus Christ were to come and find you and me as we are today, if he were to come and find our devotion, our prayer lives, our witness, our work, just where it is today, tell me, would we welcome his return? Or would we be ashamed before him at his coming? I think the great reason why so many Christians have little real heart interest. I'm not talking now about the stupid arguments that divide them. I'm talking about real heart interest. Why so few Christians have a real heart interest in the coming of Christ. It's because they're living lives that would need to be radically changed if they believed that Christ would really come and find them as they are. The entire Christian life must be lived in the light of the coming of the Lord. May the Lord stamp that upon our hearts so that we will wait for his Son from heaven, conducting ourselves in holiness unto the Lord, so that we will have a crown of glory, a crown of rejoicing, even souls to praise our Savior throughout eternity. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Write it indelibly upon every heart. We ask thee, O God, today that thou wilt bring the lost to Christ. What a joy it is to have complete life. Life now, life that death cannot extinguish, life that survives the judgment and enjoys the glory of God. We thank thee for true Christianity. Lord, we pray that thou wilt bring every lost soul to know Christ as personal Savior. And we pray that no backslider will go out of this meeting untouched and unwarmed. Oh, may every heart be strangely warmed, even now. Come, blessed Spirit of God. Revive, restore, quicken and bless thine own people. And Lord, set us on fire to win the lost for Christ. We thank thee for every outreach activity of the people of God here. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt multiply the efforts, multiply our visitation teams. Grant our God that people will find in their hearts a mighty zeal to reach their fellow countrymen for Christ. Bless the work in every aspect, and God grant that there will be many souls that we may have to set before Christ, that we may glory in Christ at his coming. Hear our prayer. Part us with thy very richest blessing. Be our abiding portion both this Sabbath day and until our Savior either calls us home or comes again. in power and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.